Hey, hi, how's it going? You are listening to Punk Goes Pride. I am your host, Tate Logan, and today's episode is bound to be chaos. I am very excited. I am here with my very good friends in Honey Revenge. Will you guys introduce yourself, lovelies?
My name's Donovan.
And I'm Devin.
Devin and Donnie. That's going to be tricky. I'm going to like, it's such a great duo name.
Donovan.
Like, yeah.
You.
Donovan.
It's your couple name.
People always ask if we're dating, and I'm like, no, Donovan's like a baby bird that I feed.
You're his mother. It's a mom-son duo. Immediately.
My mom's going to be so mad when she walks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forget. You have a real mother that would probably, yeah, like... Shout out to Donnie's mom.
Yeah.
Word. I love you, mom.
First things first, 2 minutes into the radio show, and we have to shout out your mom. That's great.
Hey, I mean, she's a real one.
This is so interesting. I can see your faces. See, they don't know that, the listeners. You guys both look really cute today. You want to describe your outfits? I feel like that's a good place to start.
Sure. I'm wearing my classic purple combo. I always have to have something purple. I've got my gummy bear necklace on and my dagger earrings.
So branded.
And my... yellow Vans.
Look at you.
You didn't see it, but I perched my foot up for the room to see.
It was an attempt.
Devin's got her feet out. She's got her toes out in the studio.
No free feet.
No free feet. You have to subscribe.
We have a Patreon for that. Donovan, what are you wearing?
I'm wearing some baggy pants I thrifted for like a dollar.
Yeah.
I'm wearing this super cute, like, yellow, black, and white striped crop top.
We love it.
That says bored, and there's, like, flowers and butterflies and stuff on it. It's like
so
the cutest shirt ever.
It's so wholesome.
Right?
You guys obviously color coordinated, too.
No, we did not.
Lies. It's just, like, in your brain to wear, like,
when
yellow,
I saw that they were wearing the black and yellow stripes, I was like, I'm going to wear my yellow shoes.
Nice.
I'm going to do
smart.
It.
Smart. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so for those of you listening that are not familiar with Honey Revenge, do you want to just start from, like, the beginning? Like, well, I guess the beginning of this project for you. What's cool is that Devin and I have known each other through more than one project, which is cool. But Donnie seems to be the lovely human that kind of put this all together. Do you want to start at, like, the beginning of Honey Revenge?
Yeah, I feel like Donnie should start it because Donnie initiated the interaction.
Ooh, love that.
Yeah, word. I forgot about that. So, like, picture this. It's 2020.
Oh,
you're in your senior year of high school. Then, am I allowed to say the C word?
What is the C word?
COVID.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was like, you said you could. I told you you could swear, but you can't say the C word. Oh, my God. Yes, you can say COVID.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Senior year of high school, 2020. COVID cuts the year short. I'm like, wow, now I have all this free time. I know I'm about to move to L.A. What am I supposed to do? I'm terrified. I don't know anyone out there. Because it's like,
oh yeah,
the other side of the country. You know.
Oh, yeah.
You know. You're in South Carolina, right?
Yeah, and where did you
I was in Georgia.
Oh, my God, that's crazy. We're both, like, Southern boys.
Right?
Who'd have thought? Look at us now.
Yeehaw!
But, yeah, I was just on Instagram one
day. You
hopped
off your tractor, and you were like, I'm going to...
Got off my horse, and I tell you what...
Not what.
What? Going to the West Coast. Oh my God.
But yeah, I was just like scrolling through Instagram and I saw a video of Dev's old band playing in a skate shop.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know if you saw it. Dev was singing and did like this front flip.
Yo,
like,
yeah.
Mid vocals and just like kept going. I'm like, yo, this is so sick. So I just sent a message. I'm like, yo, I'm about to move to LA. What's the music scene like? Like, are people cool out there?
Yeah.
And then first thing Dev said back is like, yeah, it's cool. We need a guitar player.
I was like,
straight to the point.
I was like, as a matter of fact, we need a guitar player. Because they were like, do you know anyone looking for a guitarist? And I was like, us? Yes. And so, yeah, I guess this is where I would take over.
Yes.
Because this was for my old project, and it was like we were in between band members, and there was a pandemic, and we were in between releases. And we had kind of already come to the conclusion that we were going to change the band name. Like, this was already predetermined before Donovan really even entered the picture. And we had Donovan send in audition tapes, because, again, COVID was still pretty intense. We were still in lockdown. And so Donovan,
you look cool, but we have to make sure you.
Yeah, you look. Well, Donovan also had like no social media presence. Word. Your Instagram was like there was no guitar playing really.
Oh yeah.
And it was like a picture of you and someone else. And yeah.
Oh yeah, this is my
it's
high
like,
school.
It's like
Instagram
Tinder. It's
page.
Like which one is he?
Yeah, truly. I was like, which one is? And so we had Donovan send in like a video playing guitar, and Donovan just was like, out of all the people that sent in audition tapes, Donovan was like the happiest.
Aww.
Like your demeanor was just smiley. And I think that's what everyone says when they watch you perform, is like, you're just so happy to be playing. And I really wanted that because we were such a live band with that project that I wanted someone that was going to have a good, fun energy. And so you played it the best. You didn't try and show off. It was very like a humble, honest performance. And we got a really good grasp of like who you were in the video. And so once you moved, we had you like, I think you just came over to my apartment, right? And you just hung out with me and the old bandmates. And obviously, that did not last very long. Both of those people ended up moving on to other things. And it was kind of like Donovan joined the band, and then immediately the only other guitarist quit. And you were the only instrument, really, with chords involved. Like, everyone else was rhythm and vocals. And we were just doing tons of sessions, and then it kind of just went from being that project to this. Like, without really intending to, it became a new band. And then
I mean, it was obviously like meant to be because I
meant
feel
to
like,
be.
I mean, that's the clip I'm gonna use for the
meant
the,
to
like,
be.
No, but for real, isn't it interesting how you can like? I mean, especially we all like grew up making music, and you do different things, you do different projects, and then you have this moment where it was like, oh shit, this is what I was supposed to like. Every little thing that
all
I ever
the pain,
did,
yeah, all the pain,
it like led you to this moment. Mm-hmm. And like, you guys, I think were like meant to be a duo, like Honey Revenge, like just like imagery wise, brand wise, it's so sick. Like,
this is no diss to any other project, but you can be replaced with a laptop so easily nowadays.
Jesus Christ,
like any instrument can be put in the tracks. So it's kind of like...
I'm just going to replace myself live. I'm just going to open up the laptop
DJ
and be
Tate.
Like, that's me.
Just like samples of you. You don't even sing live. It's just samples. But yeah, I think it was just like the core people who were like making the music rather than like, you know, there's tons of bands where there's different dynamics. You know, there's like
for
two
sure.
core members or one core member that writes and kind of does all of the behind the scenes stuff. And then they all... rock out, because not everyone wants to do all the extra stuff, which is valid, but
oh, yeah.
you I have mean, to do a lot more than just make music and look cool nowadays.
Dude, literally 90% of being, like, arguably a successful musician is outside of just making the music.
Exactly.
Like, and I think, no, I totally agree. Like, people don't really understand that. And it's totally cool to be the member of the band that's like, I just want to show up and I just want to play. But it's like, if you want to grow, there has to be someone in the band that gives a shit and, like, the way of, like, I'm going to be the person to... send the emails and edit the pictures and reach out to people. And like, so no, I cheers to that.
Yeah.
I totally get that. Yeah. So then question, when you guys do play live, do you have like other, you like hire people out to come and,
yeah.
and hang out? How does that
we have,
work for you?
I'll shout them out on here. We have our good friend, Livy Dillon, who also has her own solo project. And then we have our friend Rain Palladino, who hops on drums, and they're both awesome
Sick.
And super great people, and they play live with us. But it's just the four of us live, even. We don't even do, like, a full
yeah.
anything. A lot of it is, like, cool sounds and stuff, and we've been jamming, and it's really coming along. I think we're finally getting to a place where we feel, like, tight and, like, we can predict each other's next moves.
Yeah.
Because also I think something people underestimate is how long it really takes to, like, sure, you can all be good individual musicians.
Oh, yeah. But you
but
need
once
that chemistry.
You have to get exactly. chemistry. You have to know what the other person is thinking and doing. Like, there's something to be developed as far as getting to know the musicians you're playing with.
Absolutely.
That I think people do not realize is such a key part of playing live.
Oh, yeah.
Is you can get all of the best musicians together and they can know their stuff, but if they're not together and in sync with one another... Mm-hmm. It's over. Otherwise, you just look showy and flashy.
No, I know what you mean. I mean, even for me, like, because I'm in a similar situation where it's like, okay, I'm a solo artist, but I like the live band, like, aspect. And so, like, even though I'll shout out the dudes in this band, Sorry Ghost, but I lived with them for 6 months, and we would just jam. And it's like, oh, okay, like, even though we were never in, like, a project together, we would play so much at the house that it's like, oh, okay, this will work. Like, if you guys want to come rock with me, like, that'll be fun. So I know what you mean. Like, chemistry is so important. So I want to ask, okay, so then you guys were writing songs together. How did you land on Miss Me? Was that the first song you wrote, or was that the first song that you felt like had the hype, or how did that, because I mean, it did so well on TikTok. I mean, shit, Distracted did even better. I'd say. So right. I'm interested about the journey of like writing the music and then also translating that to like growing it really successfully on the internet.
Yeah, Miss Me was for my old project originally. It okay. was way more pop punk before, and I think it got kind of like a really cool, I don't want to say gent, but almost like heavier, distorted rock version mm-hmm. in the end. Like it came out very different from when it started. I have to shout out our good friend and writer and producer, KJ Strock, because he kind of has helped us shape the sound. He started working with us when it was our old project, and kind of watched all of the other members move on and watched me and Donnie really become the core part of the band.
Right.
And he's really helped shape and direct us because I don't play any instruments. And for a while, I was the main contributor. Mm-hmm. So it was more my vision. And Miss Me especially, I don't even think Donovan really hopped into the band until at the tail end of the writing process for that. Yeah. So I have to shout him out because he really kept that up and like brought that song to life because we had it. I wrote Miss Me almost 4 years ago.
I wanted to like interject this question really quick.
Yeah.
So if you're not an instrumentalist, like when you write, do you start with like lyrics or like melody or like how does that happen for you and then bring it to the producer? Like what's your like kind of like way that you do things? I'm not wording that well.
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're doing your best. I'm doing my best. We're all doing our best. But yeah, it's a super interesting process that I think seems like it makes sense to me, but a lot of people do not understand. I have never played instruments, mm-hmm. and because of that, I've kind of gotten relatively good at writing songs without having chord progressions in mind. Okay. I send, like, an a cappella voice memo of me doing my human metronome. If you can hear, it's like me slapping
my
leg.
It's like Dolly Parton with her nails on the show. Yeah,
exactly. Me with my nails, too. I love Dolly. I did a report on her when I was a kid. But yeah, so I usually send, like, an a cappella voice memo, and then Donovan will write and produce in a DAW, like a semi-demo, something that gets the point across of the
totally.
Song. And then we usually bring it to KJ. And he's really good because he's great at layers and he's a really awesome writer and he's very intuitive. Mm-hmm. And he usually has a pretty good idea of what I'm thinking and we're picturing. A lot of the stuff that I think makes the songs catchy is the instrumentation is built around the melody, mm-hmm. which I think is not the key to every song, but I think for us, melody is very key because we
very, like pop driven.
It's very pop. That's why I call it pop rock because yes, yeah. rock is like my first love, but I also am a diehard. I love old 2000s pop. Like something that gets stuck in your head is more likely to be remembered.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think a lot of the stuff we've done has been driven by my melodies, but then there's some examples. Like we're working on a song right now that I love that Donovan just sent me an instrumentation to, and I just wrote a train of thought kind of song.
Yeah, yeah.
In response to that. Mm-hmm. And so it changes, but most of the time it starts with like an a cappella stripped down melody thing.
Well, I think that's what makes you guys' like sound as Honey Revenge so unique is because like at least when I'm like consuming your music, it's like obviously the instrumentation is very rock forward. Like mm-hmm. it's, you know, you want to dance to it, you want to jump to it, you can mosh to it. But then you're right, like these like the vocals and the melodies are like this could be a pop song. Like if you like remixed it, it could be like a Katy Perry song or something.
Exactly.
I mean that as a compliment.
No,
like
I love old Katy Perry. Yeah. I used to cover Katy Perry. I love it.
Dude, Waking Up in Vegas.
That's
like,
what we covered.
No way.
My old man covered Waking Up in Vegas in Vegas.
Well, I'm like, this is like that could be a rock song. Like
yeah.
when you listen to it, I'm like,
old Katy Perry is pop rock.
Oh,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
One of the boys? Absolutely.
That
no,
whole
I
first
totally
couple
agree.
Albums is just like very like edgy, like rock girl. Being pop produced, you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally. Shout out to Matt Squire for that one. Okay, so then back to Miss Me. I asked you a question and we got a little bit off track. That was my fault because I was excited about your like writing process. But so you wrote Miss Me and then for your old project. And then so how did you decide like that was going to be kind of like the I guess like announcement of Honey Revenge? Because I mean, it was the first song you guys put out.
I think it to me. And I don't want to just act like the other project didn't exist, but I think we took a lot of the socials that we had. Our mm-hmm. media pull was from that old band and from Forever Emerald.
For sure.
And so because it was written for that project, I think it was the song that out of all of the ones we had was the most similar to the old sound.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a way to win those old fans over and make them love this band. And then with the next song, we kind of gave them something a little more fresh, a little more new. And not to say Miss Me wasn't fresh or new,
yeah.
but I think it was a little more in the vein of like pop punk and edgy and the sound that I was going for with that old band. And I wanted this to just have a more fresh sound. I wanted it to be more pop rock and less pop punk, which is not a bad thing. It's just I sing very catchy melodies and I write things to be stuck in your head, which is, I think, a pop thing. You know what I mean?
No, for sure. That makes sense. It was kind of like a bridge between the old project.
And Distracted, I think, even more so was a bridge between Miss Me and Ride, because we actually wrote Ride and produced it out and got it done the same time Miss Me was finished.
Okay.
So Ride has been just in our back pockets this entire time.
Uh-huh.
But it's more of like a dancey pop anthem. It's in the vein of a little more like the band Camino and synth pop and that style of music. And so I think Distracted was the perfect bridge between Miss Me and Ride, because it still has that rock. There's a guitar solo. There's riffs. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of had those synth pad, you know, feel good sounds in it that help you feel that before Ride came.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I get like a... What's the, like, Gives You Hell by All American Rejects? That way the guitar is, like, very, like, it's like, this is a guitar, but it could be in a pop song.
Exactly.
No, for sure. So shout out to not only your writing skills, but your producers killing it as well. Right. Well, let's talk about Distracted, because I want to play it on the show. That'll be the first song that we play. So tell me about Distracted and your success with it on TikTok, because I think that that's kind of, like, a key, like, kind of pivotal moment for, like, the trajectory of, like, what your band has been able to do so far.
Yeah, Distract is awesome. I remember when we wrote it and being, like, very excited for it, and I'm surprised it came out as soon as it did, because, again, we wrote it after Ride and Miss Me. But it was accidental. I was kind of at a point where we didn't know what was happening with the band. Like, I remember it very distinctly. I was kind of in a bad place, at the beginning of a bad place, where I was, like, feeling like we didn't know what was next, you know. Miss Me was being received how it was, which is not a bad thing. I was just used to this other project. And I have to keep reminding myself that even though I've been doing this for a while, Honey Revenge is a new thing to people.
Totally.
And even though it's not new to me, it's new to other people. So it's a constant, like, putting myself in place kind of thing. And I was super mad and super angry at how things were going. And we felt, like, very stagnant. Like, we were doing all this work and we didn't have any shows, really. We had one show and we didn't know when the next one was. And I'm more of a performer than I am a content creator, though a lot of people might know me from TikTok. Like, my passion and my love is for performing for an audience.
Totally.
And so I was very frustrated with having to do all the content, as I feel like a lot of musicians are nowadays. And so I was like, fuck it, I'm gonna leak all of the songs. And so I just started posting all of the demos we had. I posted Ride, I posted Distracted, I posted one or two more that we had, and was just, like, talking about what they were about. No one was, like, there to stop me, really, because there was no, like, mass success. Like, we didn't have a label at the time. I was just, like, for the hell of it, leaking it, because I felt angry and I wanted people to hear it. And I was excited about the songs and didn't know when they were coming out.
It's like, you don't know I'm good, but I know I'm good.
I know we have all these songs, but people are like, what's next, what's next? And we didn't know what was next. So I just started leaking stuff, and one video of Distracted did well. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to keep pushing this down people's throats. And I did. And we still didn't have a release date. And I promoted that song for like 6 months.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. Every day for 6 months. And I was just excited that people. Yeah, for real.
Every 15 minutes on my TikTok page, it would just be like, I was like, wow, I know this song like the back of my hand and I've never heard the second verse.
Yeah.
Like, I'm ready
to go. Gosh. Yeah. And it was definitely like, people were excited and people almost started to get mad at me that I was promoting it for so long. And it was truly just a matter of like, we didn't have a release date. It wasn't done when I started promoting it. Like, people didn't understand that I was posting an unmastered, unmixed version.
Yeah.
This was the demo. And then because it was so well received, we just decided that that was going to be the next song.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like what happened was we were about to submit it, and then we got hit up by Thriller Records, essentially.
Hell
and
yeah.
We started talking to them, and it was kind of like we didn't put it out yet because we didn't know what was going to happen with them. And then we finally put it out, and it did so insanely well for like us having one song out prior.
That's super like validating too, to be in talks with the label, and then it's like, oh look, this is going really, really well. And we didn't even have you.
We didn't even have them, and the release was going really well. So it was cool. It was cool. It was like very eye-opening experience. Like people were connecting with it, and I think it was just like weird because you know, suddenly it was becoming very real. And we, mind you, are still very local, but I've been DIY my entire life. So now it was suddenly like we had a whole team of people supporting us, which was crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's kind of ever been since.
It makes a world of difference because it's like you can kind of what we were talking about earlier where like there's always the person in the band that's having to do like a million different things. And then once you have a team, it's like, oh, wait, I can focus mostly on the music again. Like, this is
it's
crazy.
It's crazy, yeah. And it's also, like, I'm used to just making all the moves, right? Like, yeah. I'm used to booking the shows. I'm used to doing this and that. And suddenly, it's like, every time I do something, now the label's like, hey, we'd like to know about this. And I'm like, oh, shoot, sorry, you know? Yeah, like, I'm right. used to running the ship, and suddenly we have all these awesome people that are very knowledgeable yeah. of music, like, giving us information, like, things I would never think about. We just have, like, multiple other brains to, like, use for planning and oh, strategizing, yeah. and it's really, really cool, because, like, sure, Donovan's a baby, but I'm also a baby. Like, yeah, we're both very young people, just maneuvering the industry in the best way possible in Los Angeles, which is one of the most crazy, chaotic cities
oh,
for
yeah.
entertainment.
No, for sure. I think that's another thing. It's so funny. Like, people are like, oh, you turned 30, and you're the crypt keeper, but honestly, your 20s is where you learn the most about, like, figuring out, you know, everything, because you can be a teenager, like, I've been at this since I was 15, I'm sure you, even younger or whatever, and then it's like, it's almost like you realize you weren't ready for these things before. Mm-hmm. It's like
you feel so ready, you're like,
so
give
ready.
It to me,
yeah.
give it to me, I want to do all this stuff, and then it comes and you're like, whoa, like, I don't know if you want to elaborate, Donovan, but like, I've grown up in this scene since I was, like you were saying, like, 12 years old was
yeah,
the
yeah.
first time I started going to Warped Tour and shows, and it became my whole life, like, it was what I looked forward to when I was in school. And I've always just gone to shows for fun and never really had to worry about it. And then we went to Sad Summer.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because people kept asking us for pictures and taking pictures yeah. with us, which was like, not to, like, it wasn't even like a toot my own horn type thing. It was almost like shocking. Like,
oh, yeah.
As soon as we got into the venue, people were doing this and like freaking out, asking for autographs and pictures. And I was like, do you realize we're just a local band? Like,
yeah.
you guys realize, like, we're not anybody, right?
The power, like, of the internet.
Truly, like, it becomes more real when people start, like, acknowledging you in person, and it's like, I've been in the scene for years and this is what I've been waiting for, and it's very overwhelming, and I'm sure you can attest to that because you're still new to town.
Yeah, word.
Yeah, like, how was that for you, getting, like, recognized at Sad Summer?
Surreal.
It's the
it's
hair,
so,
man. It's
it
the
is.
Hair for both of you. You guys enter the room and they're like, I can
I know.
Spot you from behind.
We're like,
I'd be like, mm-hmm. that's Donnie.
We're like
Evan.
Video game characters.
yeah. For real. But yeah, it's just surreal because, like, I haven't been in the scene that long.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I moved here during COVID. I haven't known anybody out here. I barely, like, have our group of friends I see at a show every once in a while. I'm like, yo, you're really cool. But
yeah.
now, like, just walk in and a total stranger just, like, knows my name.
That's so
like,
awesome.
What the? What? that's so weird.
That's great.
And to go off of what you said earlier, to interject, I saw something recently that I found really interesting is that, like, yes, we're in our 20s. But if you start the clock at 20, that's like you at 1 year old in adult years, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally.
Like, if you're
yeah.
looking at it in the grand scheme of things, like, sure, you've gotten to this far in life,
uh-huh.
but as an adult, you're a baby. Like, you're a baby in adult age groups. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, absolutely.
Like,
I mean, I can even remember being, like, just trying to rent a van to do a DIY tour, and you have to be 25. None of us were. And it was
no.
like, well, what are we going to do? Like, we've got to.
We can't play 21 plus venues.
Yeah, right.
Donovan
no,
can't
exactly.
get in.
So it's like, we're actually, there's just so, or even like renting hotel rooms on tour. It's like, oh shit, like, one of us has to at least be 21 in some
yeah.
places. So no, I totally know what you mean. Well, let's listen to Distracted.
Yeah.
Donnie, do you want to like give us a send off? Like, hey, this is Distracted.
Sure.
Now playing on Adobe Radio, Distracted by Honey Revenge.
It's true. It got me. Changing your voice, yeah, I can tell when I've started to annoy. Being alone is what I try to avoid. I put in effort, but it just gets destroyed. Yeah.
And that was Distracted by Honey Revenge. Now that you know what we were talking about it being so catchy and so poppy.
Thank you.
So we're going to take a little bit of a turn. So what was it like? I guess I'll start with you, Devin. What was it like being what was it like? You're still a woman in music. What is it like actively being
I'm in my cyborg transition stage. I'm turning into a robot.
A robot, yeah.
Beep, boop, bop. For sure. It's interesting because you get a lot of, and like, I think I've watched a lot of like my friends who are female presenting or non-binary, like really experiencing it as instrumentalists in my old band, for sure. I've experienced more like being there while people go up to them and like, you're actually really good type thing.
Yeah, right.
And it's very interesting because it's like, that's not the compliment you think it is, but okay.
Are you selling merch for the band?
Yeah, like, yeah. Literally. I honestly, like, I think I'm loud enough and like forward enough that people don't really question me, but I think I've also developed that skill so that people don't waver in their communication with me.
Your band just sounds like Paramore. Like,
oh my God, exactly. And it's hard because, like, obviously that's a massive influence. I have a giant Paramore tattoo on my arm and I can't not acknowledge that.
That's just the, like, ongoing joke that, like, guys love to say, like, any female-fronted band. It's like, oh, Paramore, which, I mean, and Paramore is incredible, but it's like there's a million other
influences. There's so many bands. There's so many bands with women in them. But, yeah, I think that's the biggest thing is, like, feeling like you yourself have to work much harder to make your own way so you don't get that comparison is I think our biggest struggle is like, it's also a blurred line and hard to understand myself because my dream when I was 12 was to be Paramore. You know what I mean? And now getting comments like that, it's flattering, but in the same vein, it's like, I want to make my own way and have our own sound. Etc.
Yeah, it's like you don't want to be the next Hayley Williams. You want to be the first.
I want to be the first Devin Popadol. You know what I mean? It's conflicting because it's like it is a compliment and they never mean it in a mean way.
Right.
Ever. And it's hard because my natural reaction is to roll my eyes, which is not nice. But it's like, sure. But it's like, that's not my only influence. And it's more, I think, that I have to try harder, not to be taken seriously, but to be our own individual group.
No,
like,
totally.
To be our own band is the struggle. But I think that might be why I'm so loud and obnoxious and forward and
no,
abrasive.
It's like, yeah.
You have to fake it till you make it. Like, totally. I'm not naturally confident. Like, we have a song where I'm like, I literally blatantly say I'm insecure. Like, I say it word for word. And it's like, you know what I mean? You got to fake it till you make it. People will believe it if you do. If you make yourself seen, they will see you. Like, I made myself a neon highlighter person. And I just walk around and I'm louder than everyone else. And it's kind of become a thing where if I didn't want that, I shouldn't have done it. And now it's kind of, I'm just, no pun intended, I'm just riding with it. I'm just in it for the ride. You know what I mean?
Well, I also think like it's really important, or maybe not important, but I think it's really cool when any sort of musician or band is like really vulnerable in the stuff that they write songs about. But then their personality and stage presence is different because you're almost like when you come out loud and you come out confident, you're demanding the attention for people to then consume something that's deeper than that. And I think that that's really cool. So to be honest and to be, you know, say like shit, like I'm insecure in your songs, I think it will reach more people because you're like demanding that attention, which is really cool. So Donnie, like, first of all, I want to say, like, I feel like in the last couple of years, and feel free to interject and correct me if I'm wrong at any point in this, I feel like we've made really big strides towards like having people of color in the community, like Magnolia Park getting signed and Sharia Moore getting signed and Kenny Hoopla going on tours.
Pink
and stuff.
Shift.
Like, yeah, like it's incredible to like watch this happen. Is that something that's cool for you, like on the come up? Like how do you feel about these other bands getting signed and obviously you guys getting signed and your like space, or just what was it like growing up in a scene that is unfortunately been predominantly like a white kid's thing for so long? Like that's so, it's interesting. I'm just curious what your take is on that.
Yeah, word. I like seeing more people do well. Like, the first one that caught my eye was Meet Me at the Altar.
Yeah.
Because I played with them in Georgia a long, long time ago. But I saw them doing well, pulling in a lot of people.
Yeah.
And then I see them get signed to Fueled by Ramen, and now they're taking over the world.
That's incredible.
And that's just, like, the sickest thing ever.
Totally.
It's really cool to see. It makes me very hopeful for the future. I want music to be inclusive for everyone,
absolutely.
Not just inclusive for the people that we like, and then everyone else can go over there.
No, I mean, I totally understand that, especially just like, you know, it's different but similar in some ways. Like growing up a trans kid, I was like, I do not belong in this scene. Like there is not. It's just a bunch of like white dudes in Vans and skinny jeans that are like in control of this.
I must become one of them.
Yeah. No. Right. Yeah. Right. Damn, Rosie.
I was
that's you.
Okay, straight cis white guys. You know what I meant. Anyway, I guess like it's just, you know, for when pop punk, like pop punk's having this really cool resurgence right now, but when it was in its like heyday, when I was in like middle school, like, you know, late 2000s, early 2010s, it was like, there was not a whole lot of women, not a whole lot of queer people, not a whole lot of black people. It was like, this is, you know, it just, I would get, you know, Alternative Press magazine and be like, damn, like, do any of us like belong in this scene? And like now, at least in this, like, it almost feels like this resurgence of pop punk is so much more inclusive just like out the gate. And that's so exciting for me, because I'm like, I look around and I see people that look like me and my friends. And like, that's just, it's exciting. And I think that like every record, every album, every tour that happens in the next several years will only become more and more inclusive. And like, that's just, it feels cool to be a part of this second wave and to witness that happen in this scene that hasn't been that way for so long. So
100%.
Definitely really grateful for that. So cool. I want to, let's talk about something funny. Not that that wasn't funny, but it is serious. Like, it's interesting, because I mean, like, I'll cap this off with saying, like, these kind of conversations are really, really important, and it's good to have them. But at the same time, it's like, not everything has to be so serious, because
it's just crazy crazy that rock music has taken this long to get to that point, mostly because rock and punk is all about going against the grain, rebelling, doing what's just morally sound and right. And and it's like crazy to me that it's taken so long for people that are not just white straight dudes to make their way, because that to me is all of what rock music is about, is just rocking out. It's not about a person as much as it's about a movement. Right. And for it to have taken so long to move in this direction is wild to me, because it's like you look at like Rage Against the Machine and like where all of this music started to come, like Linkin Park, like it's always been in music, but these people were some of the ones that spearheaded like being POC or being anything but a straight guy. You know what I mean?
No, like, totally. Well, and the craziest part is like people like us have been here all along.
This whole
time. We just weren't. Like, we've been making the music since the dawn of time. It's just that we're being recognized for it now, which is the craziest part. It's like, and that's like another level of the conversation. It's like, oh, well, I don't know any bands that are like that. And it's like, look harder. They are there. You know what I mean?
You obviously haven't looked. Like,
right,
it's
exactly.
Like, sorry, you're just into like the biggest bands possible. Like, and it's never to be rude, but it's just to be like a wake up call to people, I think, is like, there's so many. I could give you 12 right now. Like,
no, totally.
With bands like Mint Green and Pink Shift and Mag Park and all of them, like, and they're all such good friends of ours now. Like, I don't know. It's just like, it shouldn't be. Have taken us so long. It shouldn't have taken us so long.
No, I agree. And it's cool to see, like, bands, like you said a minute ago, like, when Meet Me at the Altar got signed, it's like, oh, wow, all of a sudden, these other bands like Pink Shift and like Mint Green were being kind of, like, pulled up along with that.
Sharia Moore, like,
oh my
all
God,
of our homies.
I love
like
those guys. It's great.
Love them.
Good stuff. Wow. So tell me your craziest live show story. Like, do you guys have any, like, rituals that you do before you play live? Or?
We just came up with a secret handshake when we shot the video for Ride. So if you guys watch the video for Ride, you can see us doing it in the video, kind of.
We kind of do it.
We kind of do it, but it was me learning in the moment, so bear with me. But we have that. I usually have to, like, freak out for a second.
Oh,
I'm not always freaking out, but I remember we played Chain Reaction, and I forgot the words to our first song. And I'm, like, the one writing the words. So it's like, hello, anybody home?
I have mixed up verses so many times. I have, like, I'll sing the second verse first. I'm like, I wrote this shit. What am I
doing?
Well,
it's just like you dissociate. Like, you're thinking about so many things when you're on stage. I think my favorite one has to be, like, the old project. I was doing that flip thing that we're talking about. And in the video that Donovan's referencing, you can see my shoe literally comes off, but it doesn't fly. My foot just slips out of it as I'm going over. And I go in and put my foot back in the shoe. So then when we were on that tour, when we played in Oregon, I was so scared I was like, wow, I'm lucky the shoe didn't fly off and hit someone in the face.
I was just going to
so
say,
I was like, I'm like, so lucky that didn't happen. So to prevent that from happening,
it's
I'm
like
just.
Parker Cannon.
Exactly. I'm going to like take off my shoes before I do it. Right? So that I don't kick anyone in the
toes
face.
Toes out on stage.
No free feet. Socks on. But so I go to do it and I don't think about the fact that socks are slippery. And
oh
I go to do the
God.
Flip and I just slip legs out on my ass.
Oh
just
my
like right on my ass. And I got up pretty quick, but and no one thought I did it on, like everyone thought I did it on purpose. No one realized
like
it was an accident.
Split, like.
Well, I was just like this. Like you can't see me, but I was just like on the floor, like doing like straddle. And
just like coat the stage in baby oil. So you
yeah.
just do like just
slip in and
slide
it. But I had no grip. And yeah, it was pretty embarrassing, but it was pretty funny. I love when like the mic gets unplugged or something.
Oh yeah.
And
you
gotta
pull
like,
it out of the stand and it just like detaches.
It's just like we were even filming something the other day for TikTok and the mic just like came out and I just like we had to stop the video. Like you never there's nothing can prepare you for all the things that are gonna happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you have anything funny, Donnie, when you bleed or something on stage with your finger.
That's punk as hell.
Yeah.
Like, dude, the Miss Me video shoot was rough. Like,
oh yeah.
I dropped my pick so many times that I didn't want to like ruin the shot to pick it up. So I just like mimed it out. And
ooh.
Whenever I would, my middle finger would just be scraping against the strings up and down. I was still playing. And I was just bleeding all over the pick guard, all over the pickups. I had to replace the pickups.
Oh, my
it was
God.
Messed up, dog.
Dude, I recorded a music video in the snow one time. And it was, like, by, like, the third, because it looked cool, bro. But, no, by the, like, third or fourth take, I was, like, I'm not even playing guitar anymore. My hands are frozen solid. I'm just, like, miming this shit. Like, I can't move. So, yeah, the stuff you'll do for a music video. But what's so great is that in the end, nobody knows that. They're like,
exactly.
Oh, it looks great. Like, that was awesome. So, have you guys, if you can talk about this, have you filmed the music video for the upcoming, or for Ride that just
came out?
Yeah,
it should be out. Yeah, it's just more of a fun feel-good. I think our first two music videos were a lot to do, which is not a bad thing. They were creative endeavors, you know what I mean? There was a lot of planning. A lot of treatment that went into it. Our good friend Patrick Gilchrist does a lot of the directing with us. Shout out Pat.
Shout out
he's
Pat.
In a great band called Not My Weekend. And he's kind of like my partner in crime when it comes to the creative visuals.
Oh, yeah.
And I think with Miss Me and Distracted, a lot went into the planning, and there was a lot of different shots that we wanted. Whereas this one, I kind of just wanted to have fun, and like Ride to me is like the one happy song. Like, sure, there's talk of not having motivation and being sad and struggling, because that's when I wrote it about was, yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff happening, but I'm in it for the ride. I'm in it for the long haul. It was right as everyone was kind of quitting the old band.
Yeah.
And that's what I wrote it about was like, sure, these people are leaving. And it's crazy because that literally put me in like some of the darkest places I've ever been mentally. I wanted to quit music, all
yeah.
of it. And it was kind of like crazy that it's still coming out and now we're signed. Like, it's wild that
yeah.
this is the first song. And that's why I think it felt right. It was the first song to release with Thriller. Because even though we did all of those first few songs independently, it's cool to, like, get the positive one and have it be the one that starts this journey of us being a signed band, I think.
Yeah. Well, they say, like, the coolest thing happens to you right after you're, like, lowest low.
That's literally what happened. I was on the verge of quitting everything. I was so incredibly dark. And a lot of people couldn't even be around me. And it's
yeah.
crazy that this song gets to come out still. And it's like kind of like a summer bop. Like,
mm-hmm.
I had the artwork planned. Kay Dargs did the artwork. She's done the artwork for all our singles so far. And she's amazing at Photoshop and visual art and photography. And so she really brought that picture to life of like, it's my bike, you know, the bike that I use to get around and ride because I do not drive. It is my means of transport. And we.
You're preparing yourself to be driven in a limo. Like,
yeah.
You're
well, a princess
slowly.
Never drives herself.
Yeah.
But so. Riding shotgun with my hair undone in the front seat of his car.
T-Swift. I love how we brought Taylor Swift into this pop. Taylor Swift's
Taylor
actually
Swift is
here
punk.
Today. Taylor Swift's been in the corner just hanging out this whole time. Thank you, Taylor, for joining us.
And thank you, Taylor, for interjecting. that was actually her singing that. She's just been waiting for me to make a reference. But no. It's funny because Taylor actually re-released her album the day Miss Me came out.
Oh,
and
my God.
So nobody was paying attention to Miss Me. And I remember crying. Because I was
water
like,
Water Parks dropped the song the day my first single came. I was
nice.
Like,
oh, no.
Like, yay.
Yeah, it's hard when, like, the biggest people in your scene or in music in general do
yeah.
something. You're like, well, there goes my release. But, yeah, so I think for me it was, like, I wanted Ride to be fun. I wanted it to show our personalities more because I think the first two music videos, like, Miss Me was very performance to show that we can rock out. Distracted was to show a lot of what that song was about because I think people got really attached to the meaning behind it because it's a very vulnerable song about being vulnerable. You know what I mean?
Totally.
Like, it's about talking about not so great feelings and relationships, you know? And I wanted Ride to be more about, like, the positivity that the song's about, which is just, like, I finally got to bring my beach cruiser to the beach. Which is cool. And it's just me and Donovan hanging
out.
Wrote
it from the valley.
Wrote it all the way. No. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, like, and we're an L.A. band. Like, I wanted to really show our roots. And, like, we're at Venice Beach. We're in Santa Monica just hanging out, enjoying the sunshine, enjoying the ocean. Like, the beach is my favorite place. It's the only, I mean, the first time you and I hung out, we went to the beach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the
it's
only,
like, the California dream.
It's
you
the
know?
Only place I shut the fuck up. Because I'm just like, oh, God, I just want to enjoy the ocean right. And, like, the serene environment that I'm in. And so I really just wanted it to be fun and show our dynamic, because I think me and Donovan are just a couple of goofballs, and we're just a couple of friends making music, you know what I mean? And I wanted it to be, sure, like, performance-based, but I wanted it to just show us having a good time, because at this point in our lives, we are just having a good time.
Yeah.
Like, playing shows, making music, like, enjoying each other's company, like, enjoying our friendships, and, like, that's what summer's all about, and this song to me was, like, very much like a summer song, like,
yeah.
Pink, and, like, good vibes, and riding our skateboard and our bike, you know? It's just like...
Well, I think it's also really cool, like, especially with, like, you know, you can release music and it can sound the same or it can sound different, but your visual aspects is really what's going to, like, draw people into, like, who you are as, like, individuals and, like, creatives. And I think it's cool that you're saying, like, you're showing these kind of, like, different aspects. Like, Miss Me was very, like, attitude-driven,
mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And Distracted was very, like, it was, like, artsy and, like, the green screen aspect and all of that was really cool. So it's interesting to see that you're, like, gonna take it in a different direction, because it's like these are all the different, like, aspects of our band and of our vibe, and I think that that's, like, really important, especially in your first couple of releases. So that's right. Super sick. Let's listen to Ride. Donovan, you want to give us your radio voice again?
Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Now playing on Adobe Radio, this is Ride by Honey Revenge.
For the long haul, I'm looking on the bright side. I'm balanced, now I won't fall. I'm in it for the ride. Not gonna throw my chance away. Not going to waste my time. I'm in it for the long haul. I'm in it for the ride. This year has felt like one long day, and every hour is the same.
You just heard Ride by Honey Revenge. They're brand new track, so go stream it. Stream it every day,
please.
All day, all night. on every device you have all at the
all
same
at
time.
All at once on, yeah.
Send it to your mother. Send it to your dog.
Your pet goldfish will love us.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I have some questions. Let's see. Okay, if you could only wear one outfit for the rest of your life. They say you're like ghost outfit. You know, like if you, like in movies,
died
like
in
if
it?
You die and then that's going to be your like outfit forever. Like what outfit would you want to haunt people in?
Oh, man. My pink / lavender corduroy pants.
Yes.
KJ calls them my Aladdin pants. They are very comfortable. I'll do that with my 2XL lavender hoodie that I got at Walmart.
Nice.
And I'll wear my pink Golden Girl socks.
So everyone's going to see you coming when you're a ghost. Like, you're going to, like, <it'll> be...
They'll just, like, see my shadow in the wall. It's just an afro.
Well, with all the, like, pinks and purples, it's going to be like, this ghost isn't scary. Like,
exactly. Like,
it's like Casper.
Yeah, they're going to come give me a hug.
I don't want to be a mean ghost. Huh? Right. I want to be nice. Like, I want to help whoever I'm haunting.
Donnie the friendly ghost.
Huh, that's a good one. I feel like, oh, shoot. The way I talk all the time, but then I get a question asked and I'm like, no words.
No words.
Only smooth brain. I'd probably say my trip pants that I just got. They're like purple, yellow, and black plaid.
I think we talked about this. Did you get them at Posers?
Yeah, I got them at Posers on Melrose. They're like so comfortable and they also make me look very tough and cool.
Yes.
And then probably just like, it's just so, I'm assuming the afterlife's pretty hot. So, like...
If you're, are you going to hell?
I mean, that's... It's not unlikely.
Excellent.
It's not unlikely.
We could not have scripted that better. What were you going to say, though? Sorry.
No, you're good. I'm trying to find a way to, like, intertwine the lyrics to Distracted and Ride, because I talk about going to hell and being in hell in both of those songs. Probably, maybe like my yellow Vans that I have on right now. Honestly, no, you know, my Velcro shoes, my black Velcro shoes that everyone makes fun of me for wearing.
What?
Probably those. And then maybe just like a black crop top. And then I'd probably have all my rings on so I can fidget.
So you're like a diet goth ghost.
Diet goth ghost. Me and Donovan
That's
have to be
like.
That's
the name of our next band, guys. It's like diet goth ghost. Are you kidding?
Diet goth is just like a good. It's like
I say diet glamour all the time. I'm like, that's my thing, is diet glamour. It's like almost glamorous, but not quite. Like,
yeah. I feel like me and Donovan have to be polar opposites at all time. Like, if Donovan looks cute and frilly, like, I have to look angry and mean.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's good duo energy for sure.
Yeah, we have to be, like, a dynamic of some sorts.
Totally.
Word.
Okay, last question. If you could only, like, listen to one record for the rest of your life, what would it be? This is always the hardest question for me.
Dinner Party by Terrace Martin.
Okay, nice. I'm not sure I'm familiar with, what kind of music is that?
Like, R&B kind
of? Oh, okay, cool.
I don't know, it's really cool. There's like 30-something tracks, and all of them have features on them. Some are like instrumental loops, some are like full like songs with meaning, and it's just beautiful.
That's a good choice to pick like a 30-song record, because you're going to get, like if it's the only one you can listen to for the rest of your life, you're at least getting more than 10 songs to rotate out. Like, you're only going to hate the record in a couple of years instead of a couple of days.
Exactly, like, exactly.
Uh-oh.
You're lost in thought.
I'm going to say, there's so many records. I'm probably just going to like, I feel like this might be obvious, but Brand New Eyes by Paramore.
That's their best record.
It's their best one. It's their best one. You know what's funny, though, is like, it's, I always say this, and I might get hate for this, but I don't care. It has my favorite, all-time favorite Paramore song, followed up by my least favorite all-time Paramore song.
Interesting. I'm curious. What are
they? The only exception is my least favorite Paramore song.
Okay, fair, yeah.
And then it's followed by Turn It Off, which is my favorite all-time Paramore song. And they go
back
to back.
Brick by Boring Brick is my favorite.
That's the first song I ever heard by them.
Really? No way.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's very interesting. But
I can't believe you just admitted that. Yeah. You weren't around for Riot. That
was
bold.
I was like 10, dog. I don't know what to tell you. I discovered them when I was 12. I couldn't have been any younger. I always say, because like, and this is not a diss to my parents, but I think a lot of people, like, their parents influence their music taste. Like, your parents are listening to something, so you kind of listen to it.
Totally.
Neither of my parents are, like, really music fans, per se. My mom was a dancer. My dad was an actor. So, okay. Like, they were both creative and entertaining. Mm-hmm. Which is why I feel like I'm just like the town clown, but but I don't know what that noise was, but yeah, I just didn't really have like influence when it came to music. So I kind of had to discover everything on my own. So yeah. My friends introduced me to something, I would listen to it. And that's what happened with Paramore, was like, I only listened to what was on the radio because that's all I knew.
Totally.
And then once I had someone introducing me to rock, I was like, oh, what?
Yeah.
I feel
the same way. My parents listened to a lot of like 70s, 80s stuff, which is funny. Like, I've kind of like circled back to that later in life. I was like, oh, Motley Crue, like, bangs. But I can remember literally like my brother and I playing Tony Hawk for the first time. And I was like, where do I get this music? Like,
Tony Hawk, like, definitely.
Good Charlotte, all the way to like the Sex Pistols. Like,
I had never even
stuff.
Heard Blitzkrieg Bop until I played the Tony Hawk game. Like, that just goes to show you, I didn't have anyone playing music, like rock music. My dad was the guy that was like, look it up. So it was like, if I asked who it was, he's like, Google it. I'm like, I'm 8.
Right, yeah.
He's like, I thought Led Zeppelin was a person until like, I was like 10. I don't know if I should go on record and say that, but it's funny.
You're like incriminating yourself on it, like music-wise on this podcast or this radio show. That's so funny.
I don't care. I know who he is now. Get it? Yeah. It's not a he, it's a band.
It's a band. Love that. Who is Robert Plant? So, is there anything you would like to send off to your fans and the lovely listeners today?
Be nice to each other. Just be nice. It's so easy to just keep mean things to yourself.
Cheers to that.
Be nice.
Retweet.
Please listen to our music. Please.
Be nice and
be
listen
nice.
To our music.
Listen to our music. I guess my real thing, if I'm going to be real, is like, just share your favorite band with someone today. Send your favorite band. Send a local band to someone you know today. Because you never know. My biggest motto is, you never know who you're introducing to their new favorite band. Even if you don't vibe with them that much, you might show them to someone who is now a diehard fan. And I've always said that, like, I love to introduce people to music. I've always been the friend that, like, turns people on to new bands and new artists. And I'm the one people come to for that. And I feel like everyone should be that to someone.
Oh, yeah. They say that, like, every band you've ever loved started out as a local band.
That's literally the facts.
Yep.
So just share some music with someone today. Share some music with someone today.
That's a good one. Donnie, do you have anything you'd like to say, my friend?
My usual is also be nice.
Great.
So I will add on to that. I will say stay safe to everybody. We care about you. We want you to be safe. And also listen to our music. And also, kind of piggybacking off of Dev, support your local music scene. If you don't think it's there, it probably is if you look for it.
Yes.
Go to a local show.
Great.
Some of my favorite memories are at local shows.
Oh, absolutely.
Shout
so
out
hard.
Cloud Springs Deli.
Intimacy is great, especially when you're discovering new bands. Well, thank you guys so much for coming out. This
thank
has
you
been
for
fun.
Having us. We love you, Tate. Listen to Tate Logan.
Stream Tate Logan today.
Stream Tate Logan today.
Every day.
Love you guys. Thank you so much. You are listening to Punk Goes Pride. I am your host, Tate Logan, and tune back in next week. Be safe. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.